In Total War, Shogun 2 conquers 16th century Japan by leading massive samurai armies and fleets of warships into sweeping real-time battles. 10 warlords strive for supremacy, but only one will become Shogun. Download the Total War Shogun 2 demo today on Steam.
Hello, and welcome to episode 262 of the PC Gamer Podcast. Today is Friday, March 4th, and I will be your podcast lord and master, PC Gamer editor, associate editor, Josh Augustine. GDC, it happened. We were there. You were probably buried in news stories about it all week long. We separate the good stuff from the fluff and tell you what happened there that you should really care about. But first, I believe introductions are in order. Podcast listener, meet my friend, PC Gamer managing editor, Chris Comiskey.
Hi, Josh. How you doing?
Chris, say hello to the podcast listener.
Hi, podcast listener.
Thanks.
It's good to meet you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I would like to thank the Academy.
The Academy, nice.
And this piece of paper.
And this is my brother in pens, PC Gamer Reviews editor, Dan Stapleton.
Brother in pens?
Yeah, it's like brother in arms, but we write instead of fight.
Okay.
I spent so long on that, like, okay, how can I say this that it actually makes sense? And
yeah, but, I thought about like pens as in like we're in pig pens or something.
Yeah, then as word pens would sound too close to something else, and it's brothers, and yeah.
And you spent all that time worrying about whether it would make sense, and then I didn't get it.
Yeah, and so apparently I failed. And the huddled silhouette behind us all, carrying all of our podcasting equipment on his back, is the intern, Lucas Sullivan.
Hello. This is quite heavy.
Nice. That's the
wrong answer.
Hear the toil in his voice, the pain.
Complain, complain, complain. That's all he ever does.
Yeah. All right. So what we're gonna do with the news section this week? It's gonna be a bit different. Instead of trying to summarize everything that happened this week, because there were a ridiculous amount of announcements, we're just gonna have everyone here kind of go around and talk about their three favorite bits of news that came out of GDC. First up, let's start with Dan Stapleton.
I mean, the bits of news or stuff I saw.
I know, because when you're
actually at the show, you're not really reading the news so much as watching them make the news, so to speak. But I guess for me, like Batman Arkham City, it looks absolutely amazing. The fact that they've got the Arkham City part of it is, you know, a bunch of like a big open area. Like a city, several city blocks, and just being able to run around there. It's basically like Just Cause 2, where you've got the grapple and you've got the cape, which acts as pretty much the same as the parachute in Just Cause 2. So you can pretty much glide around the whole map as Batman. I'd been playing Just Cause 2 over the last couple weeks, just on and off playing with mods and stuff, and. You know, when you've got that grapple and you're zipping around on rooftops, it's like why isn't there a Batman game that lets me do this? And now there will be, so that's very exciting. And also, Battlefield 3 looks absolutely amazing. At first glance, when I was at the event where they showed the footage of the single player, and at first glance it looks like footage from like Iraq or Afghanistan or something. Just like footage taken by an embedded reporter or something like that. It's amazing.
That's the demo with the earthquake in it, right?
Yeah. Where a building falls on a helicopter. It's like one-upping Die Hard. It's like, oh, you drove a car into a helicopter? We're going to drop a building on a helicopter.
So for Batman, like, I like the original game, right? Because it was sort of corridor-driven to a sense. Like, it was open, but it was like, you know, tunnels to an open area.
Right.
So is this now just Grand Theft Batman?
No. Well, not exactly. I mean, it's got, first of all, there are no vehicles. They're keeping it very, very, you know, Batman-centric, not a driving or flying game.
Yeah.
What about the helicopter, though?
There is a helicopter, but you don't fly it. You can latch onto it, and it'll fly as it patrols around the city.
That literally is Just Cause.
Pretty much, yeah. Except you don't then go up and throw the guy out of the helicopter and take over the helicopter. But you can latch onto it and hold on to the landing skids or what do you call those on a helicopter?
I actually don't know anything about helicopters.
Yeah.
Clearly,
Some Air Force guy,
skis.
You are.
They don't have helicopters in Air Force.
That's right. I guess it's like an army thing. Anyway,
Air National Guard does, but
right. So you don't actually drive anything or fly anything, but the world map is open and basically GTA-esque. But then you can you go to a building where in the demo they showed they had like Two-Face has Catwoman hostage and is going to execute her, so you have to go in to the building, and then it becomes basically like what Arkham Asylum was. So it's got it's got those kind of levels within those.
Did they say anything about if you could play as Catwoman or if it was just Batman only?
All they showed was Batman only. So.
I'm pretty sure that they've confirmed that you can't play as Catwoman.
Yeah,
because that was rumored for a while, and they squashed that.
And there is no co-op either. It's all single player experience, which I'm totally fine with.
Did they show the new X-ray vision?
They did, and it's the detective mode.
Which
is a little bit, it's fundamentally the same idea as before, but it's a little bit more fleshed out.
Yeah.
The example they showed was a sniper bullet comes through a window, and Batman pulls Catwoman out of the way. So it goes through the window and impacts on the ground, and so you switch on detective mode. And this is like very early in the game, so it's kind of tutorializing. So you hear Batman saying, "Okay, where did it come in?" And so you look at the window, and it centers in on that bullet hole, and it's like, "Okay, now where did it impact?" And you look at the floor and find the bullet hole, and it draws a line between them, and then traces it back across the whole pretty much the whole map, and traces it back to a clock tower where the sniper was.
I absolutely love that. Because that actually feels like actual detective work rather than just like a hack.
Right. It's something you actually did instead of turn on this mode and there's the trail. There's the alcohol trail of his breath, which is even kind of preposterous in itself. that alcohol would be trace amounts would be in the air, leaving a trail.
I've been around some dudes you could probably trace where they went through the
alcohol
breath.
That's true.
Yeah. But so it's not like the cheat mode anymore. Like you're not always going to want to turn it on.
No, it still lets you see the enemies through walls and you see their weapons and things like that. So it does still have a lot of very useful stuff. For me in Arkham Asylum, it felt kind of like a cheat mode because it showed you guys through walls and everything. But I just turned it off because the game was so pretty.
Yeah,
I didn't want to see. Yeah, so the incentive is to see the awesome graphics. So. Mm.
Did they show any villains? Like
they showed Two-Face and Catwoman, and one that is still under embargo.
Okay,
it's Tim Burton himself.
Yeah, well, no, it would be Joel Schumacher would be the villain.
Oh God, yeah.
All right, so that's one. Dan, two more.
That was two. It was Batman and Battlefield.
Oh, touche. All right, third.
Let's see. If I had to pick another, today I sat in on some panels where the first one was Dustin Browder, who is the lead designer of StarCraft II, talking about designing StarCraft as an esport and not necessarily just as the traditional RTS game, which is kind of a crowd pleaser kind of thing. There's a lot of interesting insight there, things like why is the Thor the size and the Ultralis? Why are these units that are supposed to be massive? Why do they end up being not that much bigger than everything else? Does anyone want to guess why that is?
Well,
so you can see what's going on when they fight.
Is it just for unit management? So it doesn't you don't get all your other units lost behind it when you're trying to pathfind, etc.
Sort of, kind of. And
I would say so. You can't hide other units behind it.
That's exactly right. The example he had was he took a an Ultralisk at kind of the size they had originally conceived it, which is massive, and a swarm of 20 Zerglings around it, and you pretty much had no idea how many Zerglings there were there because the Ultralisk takes up so much room. Also, in the beta, they did run into pathfinding problems with really large units like that
Ultralisk
and the Thor. So.
I thought now the pro players will still do that. They'll stack 30 of the same unit in one space.
You can only really do that with air units because everything else bumps into each other. But with things like Vikings, that'll be a problem. Although I think I read in the patch notes that they were doing something to fix that.
Oh, okay. Because when we were watching GSL, at Norm's house, I remember, and I was like, why are those little air units freaking out? It looked like he was just moving back and forth. And he's like, oh, because you don't know how many are there.
Right.
And I was like, oh, very slick.
Right. Okay. All kinds of little tricks like that.
Yeah.
They're just all kinds of things about just readability of units, you know, he's like, you know, here's why our artists hate me, because I had all these requirements, but, you know, to be able to tell what's going on. You know, made a lot of comparisons to professional sports. Like, you know, you see the jerseys, you know what's going on there. You made a lot of comparisons to just like the role, you know, being able to determine roles just by looking at guys, and just simplicity of it. You know, why you know, he called out, like, you know, around the time they sat down to start working on StarCraft II, the competitors were Dawn of War I and, like, Supreme Commander. And both of those had massive numbers of units, particularly Supreme Commander, like different unit types. And, you know, he went in there and was kind of in disbelief that he was being told to make this game simple and not try to match or outdo the number of unit types that the competitors had. But, you know, the philosophy is that you have one unit that has multiple roles, depending on how you want to use it. Like, the Roach was the example he called out, which was, you know, it's a basic unit, you know, short-range melee unit when it starts out, but you can upgrade it with burrowing, so it's an ambush unit, or you can upgrade it with moving burrowing, so it's a raiding unit. So it was a very interesting talk, and one of the more interesting ones I've seen at any GDC.
Did he go into kind of the choices to not include certain units, like Firebats or something like that? Was that
based on
esports stuff?
Yeah, and he actually had a series of graphics where he had like like, you know, he would show like the Wraith and you know, explain why they had, you know, put that in the game, and then the role for that seemed better filled by the Banshee because it was, you know, anti ground instead of, you know, more versatile. So it's you know, it filled a specific role they wanted to include, they wanted to have in the esport, you know, multiplayer, but they still that's a cool unit, so let's put it in the single player. So
okay, so it's more for simplicity. They wanted less units in multiplayer rather than, you know, Firebats controlled by super good players would be too powerful.
Right, and they didn't want to duplicate any roles. They didn't want to replicate too many things from the first game. So that they you know, it was very a whole lot of thought went into every single decision there. And he talked about how it took them, they spent about a week and a half just trying to get the timing of the Hellions, which are the buggies with the flamethrowers, just trying to get the rate of fire timing right, so that you would have a little bit of time to move your Hellions between flame bursts.
Huh.
Wow.
I will never be good enough
to
realize.
Yeah, I wish I had the micro to do that.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, Chris, you're up.
Yeah, so nature of the business, I'm the hardware guy, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of games. I did see one, which I'll talk about, actually two, technically, which I'll talk about in a second. But I have to say, we saw a lot of games being played on the Intel chip, the 2600K, with no discrete GPU, so no graphics card whatsoever, and they're showing Portal 2. And I thought they were just playing this game with low settings. And I was like, that looks pretty good for a low res and low settings. They're like, no, actually running it at 1920 by 1080. They showed me the settings, and they're all jacked up pretty high. It's like, really? And he was getting like 45 frames a second. I don't know how they did that. I don't know if this is really going to relate to being able to play all games like that, because I know they're working with Valve like directly to get this thing programmed.
There's a lot of optimization that can go into to designing for one specific piece of graphics hardware. But if that becomes a very widely used integrated graphics solution, then that will be effort well spent.
I was pretty damn skeptical before I saw that in person. Even I was like looking inside the machine. I was like, was there a mirror here hiding the GPU or something? Like, I was like, this can't be right, because it looked great. Like Portal 2, it looks decent. I mean, it's not like a graphic monster,
right? I mean, it is based on an engine that's what, 6 years old now. So
yeah.
So it's not an envelope pushing kind of graphical game. It still looks good because Valve has great visual design. But, you know, it's kind of like WoW, where the technology is old, but the design is so good that it looks good anyway.
But I think that's great that, like, someone could buy, you know, $300 CPU, because it'd be more than that, because 2600K is like $350, I think, retail right now. So, and probably more like a $700 PC. But that's like getting into console area, you know, where you buy a PC, you don't even need a GPU, and you can play a game like Portal 2.
If you're skimping on the GPU, it'd take like $500, wouldn't it?
I mean, the processor itself is like $350, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
So you'd need a case, a motherboard. It would probably get up to $500 range.
Right.
But not outside of what you would pay for like, you know, an Xbox 360 or a PS3, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, in a few years, that technology will migrate down into the low end. So you'll have a CPU at like around $200 that'll take care of your basic graphics needs.
Yeah, I was surprised and scared a little bit because I love my graphics cards. It was like, you know, and again, I don't think you're going to play Battlefield 3 on this. I don't like, unless you want to play it like, you know, some just really stupid low resolution. But again, it's like, it's pretty neat seeing that and going, oh, wow, made a believer out of me. I mean, I never would have thought that.
Is there, I don't know if they've said this at all, is there a way for like that integrated graphics to help a GPU so you could buy a cheaper graphics card?
You can. There is scaling, and I asked that. So in other words, if you buy, let's say, like the newest like 580 or something, and you try and pair that with a graphics card, it won't work well. So it's like SLI. You're essentially doing SLI, just pairing it with the on-die chip or the on-die graphics controller. So it'll pare down. So if you buy a really expensive card, I mean, you're probably not going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you buy like a low to mid-range card, yeah, you can actually pair it and the performance will increase. Just like, it's basically an SLI bridge, just with a different architecture.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that was like the first question I asked him. Thanks for bringing that up, actually.
Do you think there's any potential for like dual CPU motherboards or something, getting two of those in there?
Yeah, I asked about that, and they were very cryptic. And they were like, maybe. Next question.
Yeah. dual CPU boards have kind of gone out of fashion since multi-core CPUs. So.
Well, yeah, there is a motherboard now that's basically like a Xeon board. Right. That I think it can run like 2 980Xs.
But those are like for servers, right?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. It's really just a rebranded server board.
Yeah, you wouldn't get that for gaming.
Well,
that,
and even if you bought that right now, which they are retailing, I don't remember the exact board, but it's like they're not optimized, so it would be pointless. You know, unless you're running AutoCAD or something in the background. So that I saw this really random piece of software where they basically riffed on the Kinect, but you can use it. Basically, you take like a webcam and a laptop or a webcam that you have at home, and you can use it like the Kinect.
Oh, I heard about this. Does it work well?
It does.
I was kind of skeptical.
Yeah, again, a lot of these, I was like, come on, really? I mean, it had a little bit of issues, and you had to kind of, like if you wanted to do the Minority Report thing and control all your apps on your PC, your fist would have to be, I don't know, I mean, no one can see what I'm doing right now. Good, Chris, let me show the listeners what I'm doing with my hand. But if your hand is about, you know, like 6 feet away, maybe a little closer, 2 feet away, it was a little glitchy, so they're working on that.
But so it has to be, you have to be like right up next to
it. If you want to use the controls, if you want to do like the gesture stuff,
okay,
then you have to be pretty close to it. But if you want to do the basic Kinect stuff, like, you know, the exercise games and, I don't know, some of the games they have, I don't even know of any Kinect games, honestly. No. They showed me a couple, and I had no idea what
they were.
There's
a dancing one.
Ball.
Yeah, they showed me a dancing one. They showed me like one where you're like flying around. Again, I don't know. But with that one, he was a good like, you know, 15 feet away, and it worked great.
All I know is I saw people using the Kinect kind of in the lobby, and I just laugh. I can't get into it at all. Like, the guy was hula hooping, and I'm like, that guy looks like an idiot. Yeah, I wonder if he knows how much of an idiot he looks like right now.
Like, I just want one that, because I guess the Kinect, you have to be like 6 feet away at least for it to work, right?
Right, and this is different.
Right, and but for this one, you have to be like a few inches away for it to
only work? For the gestures.
Okay.
So
what I want is one where I can lean back in my chair from my PC and be, say, 4 feet away from the screen and presumably where the webcam is and be able to do gestures and everything.
That's what they want to do. And it worked half the time he showed me. And this is very alpha, not even beta software they were showing to me. So I'll give him a little slack. Right. But that was the idea. Was he was sitting and he leaned back in his chair, which I can't do right now, so no one'll be able to hear what I'm saying. And you would use his fist, and you would do these strange apps, and you could actually control your own gestures to do whatever you want to. And you just—it's like assigning it to a key binding, essentially.
But why would you want to do that? You could just have your hands on a mouse and keyboard. Okay. It's so much less effort.
Right. But so let's say you're eating breakfast or something. You've got a bagel, or you got a cup of coffee, and your hands are all grimy, and you've got your PC way over there. I don't know. I mean,
okay, if I'm standing in the middle of my room eating a bagel, yes, then maybe I will want that. But.
Or let's say you're like me, you like to take a shower and perhaps listen to music. Come on, I'm not the only guy that likes to do that.
Yeah, no, I mean, if there's a game.
Really? You never. Hold on, wait a second now. So you've never taken a shower and listened to music?
No, I have, but my computer is not that close to my shower that I could be gesturing while in the shower. Yeah. Or
really?
Like if so I'm, or if I'm scratching my back and it starts changing the song or something, like, I don't want that.
And Josh, you don't have a webcam fixed on you when you're in the shower?
I do. No one else does.
Only on the weekends.
Yeah. Yeah, you would want to be careful that wasn't broadcasting live. But say you had like your laptop outside or something, you could. I don't know.
Chris is a secret cam girl.
It's That's true. Disturbing.
It's not a secret anymore.
No. So, yeah. I mean, so the name of it is called, it's XTR is the brand, and Easy, I-Z-I, is the actual software that they're using.
I'm just, the reason I'm still skeptical about it is because with a standard webcam, you don't have the Kinect's depth sensing.
Yeah, I have no idea. They wouldn't explain how they did it. And right. I asked, and they're like, no. They're very Russian, by the way. Like, no, no, it's a secret. Sorry. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I probably don't want to sell if you're...
But like it wouldn't be able to tell if my hand were 6 inches away or you know,
well,
5 feet away.
Well, size. It can measure
the
same
size. Yeah, they do.
It can measure size, but it can't measure, you know, proximity.
Yeah, there was actually a gesture they were doing. So, like, again, I'm going to try and describe this without showing everybody. I'll show you guys. So it was basically like pulling something back, and you could zoom in on photos and zoom out on photos by moving your hand farther or closer to the camera, and that worked. So, yeah. I think they're developing it strictly for software. I don't know if there's any plans to, like, deliver the software directly to the consumer. But basically what will happen is with any game that comes out on the PC that they want to make Kinect-like, this will come bundled with that, essentially.
Yeah, and I was talking to a guy from HP, and that's where I heard about it. He was talking about, you know, HP might be interested in it. And if that were to come to fruition, then like any HP laptop you got,
yeah,
would have that, you know, they already have webcams built in, so it could have that software built in, or, you know, pre-bundled with it, and you can control your photos.
I have a feeling these guys will end up like in a sewer somewhere, killed by Microsoft. Like, I did not just say that. But you know, I mean, it's like, it's so like, how could Kinect deal with that? I mean, they would flatten out on the PC.
Well, I mean they're not trying on the PC anyway.
Well, they were going to release on the PC.
They're going to put out the SDK for like research purposes.
Okay.
In the summer sometime. Yeah. So they're not trying to sell this hardware on the PC at all.
Well, maybe this is why, just because, like, I don't know, because like, why would you?
It's
like,
well,
you
can just, no, they're doing it because they want to sell Xboxes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that was neat. And then Red Orchestra. Speaking of Russians.
Oh yes.
I got to sit down with them when I was doing a PC just briefing for Origin. They're like, "Oh, you want to see Red Orchestra?" I was like, "I would love to see Red Orchestra. That'd
yeah,
be great."
If Evan were here, that would be one of his number one moments.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
This might be the final like nail in my TF2 coffin. I think maybe like I've been looking for that nail specifically. I just haven't found it yet. Lucas can attest to that.
I plead the fifth on that one.
Right. So I got to see the tank portion. I really wanted to see. I know this is distracting. There's actually a guy in here playing Homefront on this giant big screen, and all of us are just kind of looking over there.
I know.
This is a test of our attention. I'm all ADD, so it's like really hard for me to think, oh, I got to watch.
I'm noticing some in-game advertising back there. That's what's really catching my eye. Yeah, like
they have White Castle and Hooters. So and in Jan. Multiplayer, everyone was going like, Hooters, roof of Hooters.
Anyway, yes, Red Orchestra, I got to see the tank crew in action, which was pretty neat. Damn you, Dan. You're more interested in that than listening to Red Orchestra.
No, I saw the Red Orchestra demo, too, so I'm
just... Oh, so you don't care. Yeah. Go to hell. So you got to basically play as the tank crew, and you could swap out and go in between the tank crew, and if, like, yours only one of you, the AI would take over as the other ones. And you could just look out windows. You could basically go everywhere you think you could go in a tank and look. And use it. So
how much coordination do you need? Like, do you need to tell someone to turn now and you do this? Or is
yeah,
it kinda...
you can do both, right? So there's key commands. I mean, this is like an ARMA game where your keyboard, every key is going to get used. Hell, you probably use scroll lock for something, you know? And so it's a little terrifying from that regard. But you could order your entire crew around to do whatever. Or you could just be the driver and they would just behave automatically.
Okay.
Yeah, there are two modes of doing it. Sorry to interrupt. But
that's okay, go ahead.
There are two ways of doing it. You can be piloting it solo with AI crew, or you can have a crew of four or five players
in
there.
I think it's five total.
Yeah. So if you've got players in there, then you are coordinating. You've got one guy on the machine gun. You've got one guy on the turret. You've got one guy driving. You've got a couple other guys doing I don't know what, but tank stuff. And you're all calling out to each other saying, hey, you know, there's a guy with an RPG on the left. Shoot him. And, you know, drive left. So it's very team oriented, but if you're playing with the AI as your crew, then you can swap between the places in the tank stations as you want to take direct control of them, or you can be a guy like up on the top with a machine gun, and you can like click on the map and say drive here. So there are multiple ways of doing it. One thing that I found interesting on there was if you spawn in the tank, you cannot get out of the tank.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, well, I was asking them about this. And, you know, there's, you know, it seems, it sounds restrictive, but, you know, it does, the reason they're doing it that way is because in games like Battlefield, oftentimes you would have people pick up the tank, drive into the thick of battle, get damaged, and then just hop out of the tank and run and hide.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not realistic behavior at all. It's kind of weird. Yeah. And you get tanks sitting out in the middle of the battlefield unoccupied, which... You know, just doesn't really happen so much.
Yeah.
So
maybe in that movie with Denzel Washington, what was that one? Meg Ryan and
The Book of Eli. Yeah. Oh no, Meg Ryan. Right.
Remember, okay. It was. I'm sorry, it's still aside, but it was like. Never mind. Anyway.
Anyway.
sorry, I'm gonna be thinking about it the whole time though.
Yeah, Meg Ryan and Mila Kunis are the same person, right?
Yeah.
But, but yeah, so it's a you know it's a very realistic game except. Pretty accessible. Like there was nothing in there. Like Arma, like the UI is terrifying.
That's what scares me about Arma.
That's what
exactly
keeps, it keeps me out of Arma. Well, that and having to run about 6 miles
to and get shot and then spawn.
Right. This seems a bit more accessible, and also it also has a ton of like just little attention to detail things that really impressed me. Like they were showing us you can get on a machine gun turret, and you're firing on that. And like in most games, when you want to, most games, I guess you have unlimited ammo on a machine gun turret. This one you can spend all your ammo, and in order to reload, like rather than having to get off of the turret and you know crouch next to it and reload and then get back on the turret, you can actually crouch while you're on the machine gun, and work on it there, and then you know just hop back up and start using it again, and it's just things like that where. In a lot of games, where there are systems where I have to reload a gun that way. It's like, well, that's not how I would do it in real life.
Yeah, you're not going to stand up and expose yourself.
Right. So any time that
well,
a game...
I wouldn't.
Yeah. Any time that a game allows me to do something like that in a way that is the way you would actually do it, it really heightens immersion.
What do you think about the blind fire system they have?
Fantastic.
It was awesome.
Because as a coward, that is totally what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
I'd be crouching behind the wall and just firing the machine gun over my head. You know, it's like that's how I would react.
It was
in that
really
situation.
Cool.
So I'm really glad they let you do that.
And again, with the machine gun, you can do that. You can just like basically hide behind you know, a piece of cover and just sit there and just, you know, just let it go if you want to.
Yeah.
And you can even, with a sniper rifle, you can even look down the iron sight, even if you have scope on it.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, which apparently, like, the tripwire guys are gun nuts. So
yeah,
they actually have all these weapons like that they're legally allowed to have. They actually own physical versions of those weapons for them to you know
for research, of course.
Right, and actually in this case it is.
Yeah.
So like they're saying, oh, you know, this gun has iron sights. Why doesn't anybody let you look down the iron sight? So they actually do. Which is
and in this one, when you fire off a sniper rifle, there's actually enough recoil, like a real sniper rifle, where it you lose your vision. So if I'm aiming at Josh, for example, not that I aim at you, but a sniper rifle, Josh. But if I was, let's say, in theory. And I decide to pop a round off at you, you know, it would jolt me, and I would lose you. I would be like, oh, where'd you go?
Plus, I'd totally dodge it.
Yeah. Right, of course, because you're that fast.
Possibly catch it in between your teeth.
Yeah.
So little details like that. And there's also, if anyone's ever looked down a sniper scope, or even just like a pair of binoculars, you'll notice there's this sort of a shadow that's in there. I'm not sure exactly what causes that.
Well, what they were going for, I think, is just the kind of a 3D effect where where as you move,
which is realistic. That's
if you're looking through a scope, if you move it side to side, you kind of see like the edge of the scope until you move your head to adjust. So it's just a subtle little effect that makes you feel like you're actually looking through a scope.
Yeah, and so Rhetoric, I cannot wait for that game to come out. Looks amazing. I guess my favorite thing, even though I only got to see like 2 seconds of it, was Blacklight 2. The guy, in meeting Jared, by the way, he's basically Ryan Reynolds, and he acts like Ryan Reynolds. It's amazing. So I was like, you're Ryan Reynolds. Like, dude, shut up. So we fire up his laptop, and like within the first like 5 minutes, it's like, this game looks awesome. Yeah, his laptop breaks. So we fire it up again, 5 minutes, laptop breaks. So I could only see like 5 minutes of the game before it would just fail. But even that 5 minutes was like perfect because he had me totally hooked. I loved the first one, and this one looks to be like just leaps and bounds better.
How so?
Boy, I don't know how much I can say. Let's see. I can say the HRV is a lot different, which was the visor. So basically, like the visors in the first one, you could look through walls and stuff, kind of like Detective Vision, right? You can see where guys are. This one, it's a lot more robust in the sense you can see very specifically where they are, where the other one was very abstract.
So it's like TSA Vision.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Just without the pat downs. Right. Just with murder instead. What else can I say? Yeah, let me hold off on that because there were some NDAs there I don't want to break. So this Jared was cool, and I like those guys. And so, yeah, that was basically it for me.
Awesome. And Lucas.
Okay, so feel free to jump in at any time since I didn't actually see any of these games in person. I just read about them.
What was it like experiencing it remotely, Lucas?
Oh, it was delightful. It was utterly delightful.
Was there too much news coming in? Like, because when I was going back, like, kind of looking at it every night, there was just an overwhelming amount of stuff.
Pretty much, if you read an article and then, like, refreshed the homepage, it would be, like, halfway down the page. Or so, yeah. But there were three things I personally found interested, and these were all games that I didn't know anything about before GDC, but then when they came to my attention, I said, that's pretty cool looking. So first off, we have Scrolls from Mojang.
Scrolls.
Yeah, that's the Minecraft guys, their next game.
Oh!
Yeah.
How did I miss that? God, I was just... Sorry. Yeah.
I think it was Tuesday.
It's Tuesday night.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically it's just, it's a collectible card game, but they want to have it so that it's free to play, a free to play model basically. So you can either buy cards or earn them through single player. And that seems really cool because I think like Pox Nora, has anyone here played that?
Pox Nora.
Yeah, that was actually in our collectible card game roundup.
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah. Okay.
So it seems like this, I was interested in that game, but once I actually looked at it, it didn't seem all that cool. This one, I mean, the Minecraft guys, they could probably pull this off, so I'm hoping for that to be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, they're not superhuman.
No, they are. It's been documented.
They made a great game. Let's see if they're one hit wonders or if they've got some momentum there.
Yeah, John Romero made a great game once too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Katana.
American McGee.
No, that was
there's American McGee.
McGee, that's right. He did a good game. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Although, you know, I did also see Alice Madness Returns, and it actually looks cool.
That looked cool.
Yeah.
He came down here, didn't he, a little while back for an interview at one point? American McGee?
Almost certainly. A while back.
Yeah. Oh, was that?
What?
Was that not? Should I not have said that?
No.
Oh, okay. Josh gave me a look like, dude.
Well, he hasn't come here in years.
Yeah, no, I thought he came here, like, because we did, like, anyway, I'm sorry.
Unless I was out sick that day, it's quite possible. It's
been a while.
Really?
Playing hooky.
Chris Comiskey, no idea what he's talking about. Let's move on.
All right, anyways.
Well, just to top that off, basically, Dan, like, they were saying the money from Minecraft is allowing them to make the game they actually wanted to make. So.
Absolutely. Which is, they're living the indie dream.
Yes.
They don't have any publisher telling them what they have to do, who they have to pander to. They get to make what they want to make.
Yeah. I'm really curious because, I mean, the obvious statement is that it's so different from Minecraft. Like, it's a totally different genre that they're jumping into here. So it'll be interesting to see if their genius in that genre can be carried over, because we've seen plenty of developers own one genre, but then when they try and step into another one, it's a totally different style.
Right. I mean, everybody has their area of expertise, you know, and you might be really good at one thing and not so good at another, but or you could be good at two things. So, you know, we'll have to think about it.
Like, Minecraft, I guess, as a genre, didn't really exist until they made it.
Right.
And then that worked wonderfully, so maybe they can do the same thing.
And maybe they can. We'll just have to wait and see what the actual game is.
Yeah.
Game number two that caught my eye was Depth, and this is kind of a weird concept. Basically, it's an underwater multiplayer FPS. You got one team, they're the divers with harpoon guns and all that.
Uh-huh.
Then the other team is sharks, and I guess they control from third person.
You already have me. I want to buy this game right now.
Yeah, doesn't that sound
like the
crazy?
Best thing I have ever
Well, that sounds cool for like a mode. I don't know about a full game, though. That seems
no,
very
a full game's
repetitive.
Good enough for me. That's
depends
amazing.
Depends on what we're talking about by full game. If it's like a $10 or $15 game.
That's true.
So you get to like just swim around as a shark and just straight up eat fools? Is that
like it's pretty intense. It's pretty
I'm on board with
intense.
This. So is there like a mouth cam like there was for Giant Citizen Kabuto back in the day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where
if
like
a shark starts biting you, you start looking at your hand if you're the diver, and you have to start like stabbing the shark with your other
awesome.
Hand until you get free. sounds pretty intense.
Did you get to see? Like, did any of you guys get to see this?
I did not see it.
No,
there was a trailer on our website.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
I'll have to go to our website and look at it.
It sounds like an excellent survival trainer for shark attacks.
It just sounds awesome. Plays a shark.
I wanted sharks to have telepathic powers with other fish, though. Like, I wanted them to be able to summon other fish, like just tuna, to distract them while I come from the side and
take
them out.
I saw eels in the trailer. I don't know if they do anything, though.
Wow.
Can you just eat Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea?
Yes.
Smart sharks.
Wait, that was a shark that ate him? Or that was a sea monster.
That was a shark. Smart sharks.
Was it smart?
Wasn't Ice Cube in one of the shark movies? Or was that Anaconda?
He was definitely in Anaconda.
Right. We don't talk about that movie.
Wait, no. Was it Ice Cube or Ice-T? No, it was Ice Cube.
No, no.
Ice something.
Ice was definitely involved.
Yeah.
Was it Vanilla Ice?
It was not Vanilla Ice.
No, he was in the Turtle, the Ninja Turtle movies.
That's right.
Even better.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
Stop.
Anyways.
Collaborate and listen.
The third game, and I guess, I don't really see myself playing this, but it's exciting. It's called Iris Online, and it's a free-to-play MMO. It's, super Asian, so you kind of know what you're in for.
Super Asian?
Yeah, super Asian. You know, the free-to-play Korean MMOs.
Maple Story-esque.
Yeah, but, if you've ever played Ragnarok Online, this kind of looks like a combination of that and Kingdom Hearts and Rayman 2. So that's a pretty good mix right there. If you've played any of those games, I recommend checking this out, because it looks pretty fun.
All right. So me personally, obviously the biggest news this week for me was the thief reveal, the new profession for Guild Wars 2, which was very exciting. That came out sooner than expected, but it was really fun. I traveled up to ArenaNet probably 2 weeks ago, I think, and got to spend.
That was more reason than that.
Was it? It might have been last week.
Last week.
Time flies.
Same time American McGee stopped by, right?
Yeah, exactly. It must have been.
I know where Josh is better than Josh knows where Josh is.
Yes. Please tell me where I'm supposed to go after this podcast, Dan.
Oh, he'll tell you.
All right, so
Josh doesn't even realize he's not really here.
It's a figment of all of our imaginations.
I hope I'm sleeping.
You need a totem,
but
don't use a top. I hear those don't work well. You want to use a weighted die or something.
Oh, okay. Die.
Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so the thief profession is awesome. It's very similar to the assassin in the original one. They didn't want to name it the assassin because it is different, and assassin is kind of tied to a specific region in the game. So they wanted a more generic term. Thief, the name stuck because it's one of its core abilities is that it can steal an ability off the enemy. And it depends on who you're fighting. So say the example they gave was you're fighting an ogre. And when you use it against him and this ogre has skulls on his belt, it's you swipe for the skull on his belt, then all of a sudden you get an ability to hold the skull in the air and fear everyone around you.
And his pants fall down.
Yes. Yes, Monkey Island style.
So he's a thief, so he just steals your life.
Yes. And so it's going to be... It's not going to be so specific. There aren't unique monsters with unique abilities like that. If you all ogres will give you that skull ability, and you can use it in PvP. If you're a hunter, you'll have a chance to steal, a random ability from their arsenal, and stuff like that. And when you steal it from an enemy player, they don't lose it. You just gain it as well temporarily.
That's pretty cool.
There's dual pistols, because all of Guild Wars, your abilities are based on which weapons you equip in your hand.
Are there pistols in Guild Wars now?
Yeah.
I don't think there were pistols in the first one.
Yeah, guns. Well, I guess pistols, maybe not, but they had guns.
Oh, they did have guns.
Yeah, why not have pistols?
Yeah, sure.
So dual pistols is pretty awesome. There's just one move where it's called overload, I think, where you're just firing, a ridiculous rain of bullets. And, the trailer, which is on, which is up on our site, running sideways, Max Payne style, almost shooting the bullets at the enemy. It's pretty fun.
In a Guild Wars game? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, it is really fun.
Sure.
And a lot of it that really impressed me was it's all about movement. So, when you're daggers, one of your abilities, is to jump over them and stab them in the back. Mm. And, in a normal game, maybe you teleport there, you stab them. But this one, you actually fly through the air, and you're spinning the blades as you're flying through the air upside down, and while you're doing that, you're unable to be hit. And so your survivability relies on using these attacks that make you invulnerable temporarily. One, you teleport forward, stab the guy, and jump back really fast, and while you're moving, you can't be hit. It's just a state that you can't be hit. So it's a very interesting playstyle of constantly moving around to constantly get this buff where you can't be hit. And, yeah, it looks really cool. I'm really excited.
Sounds like acrobatics, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, it very much is. It's very over-the-top and just kind of, like, almost comic booky, but it's really cool. The other one, this is a little one. It's just I'm very excited about how close the co-op versus AI mode for League of Legends is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's so much better for getting people like Dan or Evan, maybe. Maybe I can convince them to jump into the game now, because you just play against the computer.
It's definitely going
to
happen.
I've jumped in the game, and I enjoyed it. I just have other things to do.
No, we will destroy those other things. Unacceptable. So anyways, and playing with my brother and people that maybe don't have the Twitch and aren't as fast but still want to play, like being able to play against this AI that scales with you and is a lot easier. I talked with them a whole bunch this week, and yeah, it's definitely coming ridiculously soon.
I think Josh just called me old and slow.
No, he did.
No.
And apparently he has a brother.
Yeah, dude.
Where did that come from?
Oh, my brother's Bomb Dig. You should meet him.
I guess so.
Yeah, where do you think I got my niece? I didn't just, like, adopt her.
Oh, what?
Alright, anyways. Alright, and the other thing is, I saw a ridiculous amount of actually quality free-to-play and browser games. Like, because this has been a trend going on for a while, but, you know, the quality, apart from a few standouts, has still been a bit below average. But there are a ridiculous amount of them. Just a few of them that you can look up. We'll probably have write-ups on the site. Otherwise, you know, just Google and find stuff. Gunshine, Fortune Online, Mytheon.
Mytheon, I've heard of that one.
It just launched yesterday.
Yeah. So that was pretty fun. It wasn't what I thought it would be, and so it was a little disappointing, but it's a very quality game. Black Prophecy and Dungeon Defenders, which is one of my favorite of the show, like, it was incredible. As far as I know, it's the first game to do it. They had cross-platform play between the PC, a PS3, and an iPad. Playing the exact same game.
What the
playing
hell?
With each other where you're helping each other. And I just love that because it's so easy to convince someone to play a game with you if you can play on any platform at any time. Like, it's fantastic.
That seems like kind of a hippie metaphor for, like, let's all come together with our three different platforms and we'll come together and, you know, I don't know, tolerance maybe.
Yeah.
Like, we can all play the same game. Yeah. Whether you're on an iPad, dude, a netbook, a PC.
Yeah, so we did a preview of that in the magazine a while back. It's basically a tower defense game, but you also play in first person during it, or you have the option to. There's a pure strategy mode as well, but you can actually run around and help take down the minions and move the towers and stuff.
Which sounds an awful lot like Orcs Must Die, which is
exactly.
I got to play, which was kind of cool.
Oh, nice! How'd it look?
It looks fun. I mean, it's like Defense Grid and Torchlight.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not actually building towers, but you're building traps. So, like, you'll build, like, you'll place a panel on the floor that has, you know, spikes pop up when ogres walk over it, or spring traps. So like an orc walks over it and it launches him into the lava next door or, you know, off the walkway and stuff like that. And all the while you are running around with a sword and a crossbow and, like, a magic flame gauntlet thing that can put down a AOE damage over time area. And it's pretty fun. I mean, it's a simple game, but it looks, you know, pretty good considering, you know, it is a smaller game, but the graphic style is cool. You know, it's a kind of Torchlight-y illustrative kind of thing. And when the orcs die, they break into, like green ham hocks and rib cage fragments, stuff like that. So they give up pretty good. It's entertaining. I'd definitely play through. I think they said it'll be like 20+ levels of it. So I'll definitely play through that.
So the main thing is just setting traps and stuff, essentially.
Yeah, and it's like a tower defense thing. So there is a stream of orcs that beat down your castle wall or door and then stream in, and there are orcs and ogres and, you know, several different kinds of enemies that all have different. Strengths and tolerances and things like that. So they stream into your castle and they try and get to your, like, the, you know, the goal, which is like a little glowy thing, and you have to kill them before they get there.
It's a good thing they're not led by Admiral Akbar, because he knows when it's a trap, Dan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dungeon Defenders does sound very similar. The cool thing about Dungeon Defenders was they're showing off the different modes, mm-hmm. where they have that, where it's normally like three routes coming into the middle, and it's a co-op game with multiple players. But then they have one where the spawning points, the crystals where they spawn from, are constantly moving around the level as well. And they have an assault mode where it basically, you're the attackers, and you have a certain number of lives to get through their defenses and break
That's
in and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. It's going to be free to play.
I've never seen that done before, actually.
Yeah.
In any tower defense game.
Yeah, so it looks pretty cool. It's going to be free to play. I was really impressed by how many quality, decent free to play games. Black Prophecy is it's a bit like EVE Online, but they less focus on the economy, more focus on space action combat, like actual first person flying around, targeting stuff like that. It looks really good.
I didn't realize that one was free to play. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it was incredible. That was the biggest takeaway, like, because I signed up for all these demos, and some of them they hadn't released the monetary thing they're doing yet, so I didn't know it was free to play or anything. It kept going one after another, free to play, free to play, free to play, and that, for the most part, they looked really good. There are a couple, you know.
But yeah, I'm excited to see the non microtransaction-y model take off. In large part thanks to League of Legends. And like Age of Empires Online is also doing this, where rather than having the, you know, buying consumables, you're buying tiers of access. So rather than I want to buy this potion that I absolutely need in order to be competitive, I just buy a faction upgrade that you know gives me access to a new tier of units or whatever like that, and that it matches me against people who have also unlocked that level of access. So it's more like a demo than anything else. So
yeah, it totally is. Yeah, it's a glorified demo that you can play forever for the most part because it is like a multiplayer. I like it too because you're basically buying access to like different strategies. Right. Like you have the base strategy you can do with these original kind of either the Greeks or like the League of Legends free champions. But then you know, oh, there's this different strategy I could play if I had this other one. Maybe I'll try that one.
Yeah, and it's you know psychologically it's not. Like I see one of these games that wants to nickel and dime me, and it's like, oh, if I get invested in that, it's just going to keep charging and charging and charging, and I'm going to ring up this huge tab. But with this other model, it's like, oh, I get invested in that. I pay once. I can play as much as I want. It's like I own the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be less than I would have paid for a box product. So.
Did you see all that hubbub about the Battlefield play for free? 17%. Deal
17%.
What was this?
They announced that, they did a survey to ask their players, you know, what they want to pay for, and 17% said they wanted to buy items that would make them overpowered.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
Which actually, when you think about it, 83% said they didn't. I mean, that's a pretty good number.
That's pretty
actually.
Good.
Yeah. And those surveys are always, I mean, so flaky because when people say that, they go, yes, I want to be overpowered, but they aren't really thinking, do I want other people to be able to be overpowered with money?
Like, well, you know, even if they are, I mean, that 17% is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very small minority of the players in the game. So, I mean, that sounds about right to me, really.
Yeah. And so I hope. I didn't see their talk, but I hope that they aren't listening to it because they said, oh, we were really surprised by that because that wasn't even something we were planning before.
Hmm.
And so I'm hoping that that doesn't mean that they're planning it now. But
yeah, I mean, Battlefield Heroes has been changing their model so much, and like they already had. I'm pretty sure I haven't played it in a long time, but I'm pretty sure they did change their model and add some items that really did make you more powerful.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, so I'm definitely with you, Dan, that I definitely want to see that go the way of the Dodo Bird and stick more to that purchasing different access options.
Right.
So, all right, so, oh, yeah, and actually I'm going to throw in one more because I can. Terra. Terra has some of the best demos at all of the places. They're very slick. It's all based on groups, so you get together with a group of five people, go through, defeat a monster. So they're showing off UI stuff, all this, not very interesting. And so I asked to play the healer, because the devs always play the healer, because the healer is the most important mechanic, so no one's ever really gotten to play the healer. So I asked to play the healer. You know, they asked me if I'd healed before. Yeah, I've healed plenty of times. Okay, I played a priest in a while. You know, I can do this. The healing mechanics are fantastic. Instead of targeting, like, a unit frame like you do in most MMOs and heal, I actually had left-click and right-click. Right-click was a dual-person heal where I could basically hold down right click, drag around, or right click on two of my teammates individually in the real world, and it's almost like sniping them with heals. So you, like, drag a box, collect two, bam, hit it again, and you heal those people. Or you only hit one person. But it's actually, like, I was focused on the fight, moving around the fight, targeting my friends instead of staring at just bars at the bottom of healing. It actually felt, it felt a lot like Team Fortress 2. It's
right,
almost exactly, but instead of, like, just channeling it, which in Team Fortress 2 is actually less dynamic because you just target
right,
one person.
Right, just point and press a button.
Yeah, this one is constantly clicking around. Then, you know, my left click was an AoE heal, and my other one was, like, a jump back, and I could heal myself. It was really, really fun. It felt like mouse gestures on, like, Opera or Firefox or whatever the plugins you can do. Like, it's that same thing where it's like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm dragging around and casting spells rather than just spamming buttons on the bar or anything like that. So I really enjoyed that. I'm
gonna, like, the end of Whack-A-Mole for healers?
Well, at least in Terra, yeah.
Now, hey, Josh, going back to an earlier discussion about the gesture tracking, what would you think of an MMO where you're casting spells by making gestures?
That would be awesome.
Potter.
I was asking Josh.
Well, Dan, I was telling you. Aha! Sorry.
It would be one of those things like WoW in 3D. Like, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Wow. But I wouldn't want to do that for extended hours at a time. And especially with healing, where targeting someone is so important, like, I would not trust the gestures, like, in the air to know exactly, I want to target that pixel right there. Whereas in an MMO healer, I would definitely, I think I'd want the mouse to be able to say exactly who I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely have to be designed to take advantage, or to make use of that interface, because, I mean, and like, what was it called, the voice control RTS, started with an R. That
Rabble Rouser.
No.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was that was a Tom Clancy one, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. It was Tom Clancy's End War.
End War. Yeah.
Ended in an R. but you know that
you
that,
go there.
Yeah. So that then you know that game was very slow paced because you had it took into account that you weren't using the mouse to order your units around. Yeah. So and you know it takes a lot longer to say you know unit alpha go to sigma than it does to click. So.
Yeah, totally.
It would have to be. It would have to be designed to accommodate that.
Another option could be like the DC Universe one. The way healing works in that is that it automatically heals the person with the lowest health and like or the two lowest health people. So if you did it that way, where it doesn't matter who you're targeting, it chooses who to target for you and then balanced around that.
Yeah. Right, assuming they could get it tight enough that you know it can recognize like if you're holding up two fingers or three fingers, like you could have in your group if you had like four people, you hold up like two and then do a gesture with on one hand and then do a gesture with your other hand, like that could be pretty cool.
I just picture you in like a robe with a staff, like so like fully going all out role playing this, because that's
right, and
that's the only benefit I see to this.
You can LARP from the safety of your living room.
Right, I mean that's what a lot of people really I would think a lot of people really want from their role playing games is to actually be immersed in that role.
Yeah, yeah. I mean I could see that. I'm definitely not the target audience for that sort of thing. Like I said, I would much rather just click. I'm lazy. I don't want to stand up and do that. But yeah, I could definitely see some people getting really into that.
Well, if they ever release it for TF2, I have a specific gesture I'd like to give to the spy.
Yeah, I'm sure you
it
do.
It does involve one finger, and that finger may be upright. Anyway, just saying.
Note, if you want to see pictures of Terra, do not type that into Google Images, because you will get something very, very different.
Now you just encourage everybody to do that.
Well, now you'll get pictures of the Earth. The Earth goddess.
Yeah. Yes.
Something
anyway.
Like that.
Actually, no, I'm Gaia. Anyway.
All right, so the sale of this week, the Ubisoft bundle on Steam. It's got Assassin's Creed, Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood, Far Cry 2, and Rainbow Six Vegas 2, all for $13.
Worth it just for Far Cry 2.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dan.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Far Cry 2, except that I didn't really get into it. Like,
for now I love you, the tug.
Yeah, like everything I've heard about it, like
I'm dead serious.
Yeah, I played for like an hour or so and it didn't really grab me, but I didn't dislike it. I just had other things on my you know available for me to play, so
good
I jumped
enough.
To something else. But from everything I heard, like after the first few hours, it gets much better.
It so, does. It's yeah. very true.
First Bye, League of Legends, minutes. Now Far Cry 2. I'm sensing a trend in your excuses, Dan.
In that I have a ton of things that I don't have time to play. Yes.
Nah, whatever.
Touché. All right, so let's go ahead and jump straight into playlists.
Yay.
Dan, what have you been playing?
Well, like last night, for example, I was up into the wee hours playing
Dawn of War 2, Retribution.
Dawn of War Retribution.
Oh, I know what you're doing now.
With Last Stand, I was playing with Evan.
That's how I knew.
We leveled our Lord Generals together, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God!
And what I mean is we leveled our Lord Generals.
Who's your third?
We were playing with a random guy because the other jerks around here wouldn't play.
No, because like you said, we have stuff to do, Dan.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have time to play games. Losers. Apparently, you do, so you just invalidated your other arguments. Yes.
I mean, like the double sniper thing. Can't you guys be unique? Can't you find your own own hero?
You aren't just a sniper as a Lord General. You can like Evan was using the flamethrower most of the time. For example.
Oh yeah,
so,
I saw that.
which is great for crowd control. But
so who is the Lord General? Sorry, what faction is that?
He's the Imperial Guard. He's the new guy.
Gosh, I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah. The Imperial Guard are the new faction that was added to Retribution, and it's you know kind of the common man's army. It's described as they've got a bunch of fodder infantry, but they also have early armor, so they can you know hold their own pretty well.
And really crappy lace rifles.
Right. And the Lord General is kind of, he feels like a John Cleese character, really. He's got a really goofy mustache, and but yeah, I love playing as him in Last Stand because he's got a sniper rifle that I use constantly, that he can pick off large targets pretty quickly. I mean, it's a really low rate of fire, but yeah. can take out like a Zoanthrope, which is the Tyranids like artillery unit. You take that thing out in one shot. Which is very, very helpful in Last Stand.
Zoanthrope is actually a spellcaster, dude.
Well, it's artillery, though.
No.
With that, have you got fought?
There's actually an artillery unit,
right,
for the Tyranids, and he's not that.
For the purposes of,
No, you're wrong,
Chris. Save it for your own playlist. All right, Dan, continue.
But, yeah. So I've been playing a lot of that. And by the way, like my review is going to be in the magazine shortly, I guess.
No, it's in the the most recent one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's the issue that we just shipped.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
People won't have that just anytime soon. Or yeah. well, soon, but not
a couple weeks.
Soon, but not now.
Yeah. So, overall impression was very positive. I did feel that the campaign in this one is a little weaker than the original and Chaos Rising. Chaos Rising was my favorite campaign of the three. Mm-hmm. The only thing wrong with this one is that it's very linear, or the level design is very linear. I mean, you can play them in slightly shuffled orders, but they're almost all these kind of narrow gauntlets that you have to run through. It's run forward, fight, run forward, fight, run forward, fight. Which is a little bit constrained, especially relative to the Dawn of War 2 missions, where you could kind of approach, you could get to the objective any way you wanted to, so you didn't have to keep doing the same thing over and over again. This campaign can be played as any of the six factions in there, which is cool, except that after I played through twice, I was getting kind of bored of doing the same missions over and over again, because they're very... very samey from one faction to the next. Even though they swap out the enemies for different enemies, it's still basically the same. That's not to say that it's not fun to play through. I played through it twice before I stopped enjoying it. So that is it should not be taken as not a recommendation because I really do enjoy it. And the other thing I'm doing is trying to get through Dragon Age before Dragon Age 2 comes out.
Good luck.
I am never going to make it.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, especially since I'm playing as an archer.
Warrior. Or
that's
rogue
pretty
archer?
Warrior.
Okay.
Warrior archer.
Well, warrior archer is a little bit better than rogue archer, but
yeah, it is proving difficult.
More in the beginning of the game, that's really tough, dude. I'm impressed you're doing that.
Yeah, so how far are you?
I am in the mage tower.
Ah, nice.
I'm in like the fade area with the sloth demon.
That's the worst.
I'm getting kind of pissed off actually.
Well, because you're by yourself at that point,
right?
Yeah,
so. That's where I'm really running into problems.
Yeah, actually, one of the most downloaded mods for the game is the no fade mod that just removes that section.
I was actually browsing around for mods to see if there was any just texture updates or anything like that, and that one popped up as one of the most downloaded ones.
I can definitely recommend some sweet texture ones.
Oh, cool! I will take you up on that. I was getting kind of annoyed at that. That one is. I was playing last night and just kind of threw up my hands. I'm like, I'm gonna go play some more Dawn of War.
What difficulty are you playing it on?
Normal.
Yeah, yeah, normal in the beginning was freaking tough. Challenging,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Awesome. Chris, yeah, since you're so talkative, please. Yeah.
You know what, Josh? And actually, I have no reason to be, except I've been playing one game. That game is Bulletstorm.
Hooray.
And I don't know, man. Everyone was like, it's just Gears of War, dude. Gears of War is... Well, I never played Gears of War, so this is fun to me. It's just like a ridiculously stupid game in the best way possible. It's just kick guys around, leash them, throw them into cactuses, throw them into electricity. Like, it's just an absolute... Wow, everyone's really focused on what's going on over there.
Dude, it's a gunfight.
Anyway, that's what he's playing. so, yeah, I've been playing Bulletstorm about 3 hours into it.
So when you say ridiculously stupid, like, that's what I'm expecting Duke Nukem Forever to be.
That's what it's like. Yes, it's very over-the-top humor-driven. Just totally middle fingers to silent protagonist. The main character, Grayson, is always talking and has one-liners. It's like a modernized Duke Nukem, essentially. Which I am perfectly okay with.
Yeah.
There are some weird nuances, like you can't jump, and in order to like leap over obstacles, you have to hold down a sprint button and then press it again, which is weird. You know, console influences there, but overall, like I'm just really it's just really mindless, simple fun. I'm perfectly okay with that. Like,
it's also a really pretty game. Like, a surprisingly
it's gorgeous
pretty
looking.
Game.
Yeah, and it, I my best like simple comparison would be it's like an old time arcade platformer in 3D. If that makes any sense. So it's
okay,
just, you
yeah.
know, it's there's nothing complex about it, but it's just good fun to shoot. It's like Metal Slug 3D, which is great for me.
Are there, like, those bums that, like, wave the T-shirts as you run by?
No, they don't have them in there. Yeah, but they have kind of, I guess, again, you know, more steroided up kind of, instead of waving those, they wave guns at you, and you just kick them really hard.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that works, too.
And that is another one where I've gotten, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours in.
Yeah, I'm about 2 hours
kind
in.
Kind of put it aside, but I might come back to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to try the co-op.
Yeah, Lucas and Anthony, you guys were, Anthony's not here, but
yeah.
You guys were playing it too.
Actually, Chris, you stole my playlist.
I'm sorry, man.
But yeah, I actually finished the game last night, so I highly recommend. I know I was talking about the multiplayer a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of down on it. The single player totally makes up for it, because it's just so much fun. Me, I really couldn't stop playing. I just had to play through to the end.
Yeah, I didn't think I would like it that much, honestly.
You like the single player better than the co-op, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Hmm. I mean, there's more skill shots. You get to pick which weapon you want to upgrade, and it's just like funny most of the time. The lines are actually pretty well done. I mean, they get really ridiculous and crass at times.
But the voice acting is pretty damn good.
Yeah, and it's funny because the main character, Grayson, he's voiced by the same dude that does Spike on Cowboy Bebop.
I don't even know what that is, man.
Spike, Jet, one of them. And then the girl protagonist is the same voice as the woman who does the female Shepard from Mass Effect.
Ah.
So the whole time you play it, you just sort of envision them instead of the characters from the game. But yeah, it's a great game.
What is her name? She's a really good voice actress.
I never play as female Shepard, ever.
Is it like...
What was that?
Jennifer Hale.
Jennifer Hale. Nice.
Yeah. And she's the voice of Phoenix in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I just learned that.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that game.
God. All
right. Just to prove that I am actually better than all of you combined,
whoa,
I have more games on my playlist than all of you guys combined.
Well,
so
we only had like one each, though.
Yeah.
So that means you have four.
That means I have five.
Oh.
What?
Dude, you had like 37 appointments yesterday, and you're still playing.
Yeah.
Did you sleep?
No, dude. All right. Sleep is so overrated.
Wow.
All right. So, and four of those are MMOs. So, oh, and actually a sixth. I forgot. Yeah. All right. So.
This is me looking at you with, like, sheer worry.
All right. So, MMOs. DCUO. Still doing all the Valentine's Day stuff. Creeping out my coworkers with the really weird angel babies that I have to interact with for those quests. Logan came by, and he almost fell to the ground, like, terrified.
Yeah, and if you know Logan, that's not easy to do.
Yeah, they're just really weird. Like, it has to be influenced by the PS3 version. They're really weird little baby angel people. Yeah, quite odd with, like, sunglasses and backwards hats. And
very
yeah.
thuggish looking.
Yeah. And so, Aeon, I jump back into Aeon after kind of playing through. Created a new mage. It's so much faster nowadays. I'm still only like level 10 or so, so I'm not recommending it just yet. But so far, all the drops are so much faster. The questing feels like a normal MMO rather than having to grind stuff for hours and hours. I only put in a few hours. I'm already level 10. I mean, it's going really fast. Rift, I've played just a tiny amount because we chose our server that we're going to have our PC Gamer Guild on, you know, so we could announce in the magazine ahead of time as one of the first servers that they were going to put up. And because it was one of the first servers that got put up, there's like a 2.5 hour queue anytime I want to log in evenings.
Bummer. Good for them.
Vanilla WoW right there.
Yeah, I haven't had this wait since Vanilla WoW. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be as good as WoW, you know, because it could just mean they don't have enough servers. But they have, I think, close to 50 servers now, and there's still a queue time. So, I mean, there's definitely a ton of people in there playing. All the responses I've seen have been pretty good. It seems like a very traditional MMO, just very polished, very similar to WoW when it came out.
Do you think it's going to retain its audience for longer than the average?
I haven't played it enough to say for sure. I think it definitely longer than average. I'm getting like a Warhammer type vibe from it, where like everyone was very impressed with Warhammer when it first came out, and people stuck around, but slowly but surely kind of other things grabbed them away, whereas I don't think anything is going to have the lasting appeal of WoW. Right. I think it'll do really well and be around for a very long time. Yeah. And then, let's see, been playing WoW as well, Speak of the Devil. Really excited for the rogue changes. It's the first RPG that I can remember where they're making stealth not gimp your movement speed. That is actually boosting your movement speed. So basically rogues will... Yeah, so you will never see another rogue again because there will be stealth in all of your cities all the time. So there's no penalty to movement speed, and a couple points in a town gets you, I think, 15 or 20% movement speed that stacks with other movement speed buffs. So you could be moving at like 130, 140% movement speed stealth all the time, which is basically all I've ever wanted from a rogue in an RPG. Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. Jump back on my gnome rogue. I'm sad that I'm a gnome.
Does it still do like the stealth animation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That sounds really unintuitive that you would be faster while trying to not make noise.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense lore-wise, and a lot of RPGs don't do it because they don't want you invisible for most of the game, so I'm curious to see if it'll stick around. I think it might just be a test, like, hey, let's see what happens. See if we like, if this, no one's done it. Let's see what happens if we do it. Does it bother us that you can't see rogues ever? And the last game I'm playing is Dragon Age 2. I've played the demo a whole bunch, and the demo that I got was the very beginning area. And so I've gone through this beginning area. I always have this problem with RPGs. Like, all right, I'm going to be a warrior. And then like, oh, maybe I don't want to be the warrior. Yeah. Animations are kind of lame. So then I went back as a rogue, and it's like, oh, the rogue is so cool, awesome. Oh, but a mage, like that person next to me that's a mage, that looks awesome. So I went and did the mage. Ended up with a rogue. And the way the game starts out is fantastic. It's essentially like someone's telling a story about you, and they're greatly exaggerating. And so you're playing through this part, and you're ridiculously overpowered and have access to all of the uber rogue abilities. And so you're just tearing apart stuff. Dragons are flying all over the place. It's just completely over the top. And then, like, someone stops the storyteller. They're like, wait, no, that's not what happened. It's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you what really happened. Then you're like a little dude with two daggers just stabbing stuff. But so I've just been playing through that first part on all the different classes.
Just as a conversation topic, if we've got a little time, I want to just what do you guys think about that mechanic of showing you all of the powers up front and then taking them away and letting you earn them? Because a lot of games do that.
That's a classic, right, from Metroid. Yeah. That was like the first one to do it, wasn't it?
Could have been.
Yeah. All right, opinions. I say yes, that is fantastic because as long as you have multiple options, if you don't have multiple options, I don't like it. But it's a great tool, like I was just doing, to pick which one I want to get a taste for. How is this going to be 30 hours from now instead of realizing, oh, crap, I don't like it now. I wish I chose the other one.
Yeah.
Disagree. I dare you.
I don't know. I honestly don't know because I agree with that. But
poor choice. Pick a choice.
You're the one who says, I don't know all the time in truthfulness or falsity. No,
that
you don't.
That is not true. No, go big or go home.
Yeah, that's true. You're very binary. Yeah.
Pick a side, we're at war.
Yeah, I guess I would say no then. I like the surprise, I guess, of like replaying it and trying out. I don't know if I want to know everything about that class or that. I don't know. I would say no, just from a gut instinct.
Lucas?
I would say no, because once they strip it away from you, then you end up feeling weaker than you would have when you first started playing.
That's a good point,
game,
too.
So
you're supposed to feel weak at the beginning of an RPG. It makes it
but
feel
do you really
better.
Want to know what you're eventually going to get but then not get it? Like, that seems like...
But then you do get it. You just have to earn
but it.
It
takes, like, hours.
I'd rather earn it. Yeah, darn.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Lucas there. I don't like being given something and then have it taken away.
Yeah.
The technique I generally prefer for showing me how powerful I will eventually become is to have another character who is uber-powered do something really cool, and then I'm like, oh, I want to do that. And, you know, I don't get to use it until I earn it.
But at that point, you don't know if that's like a unique ability to that character or if you will even earn it.
It depends on the game, whether they spell it out. It's like, oh, this mage, you know, just destroyed that dragon with a lightning bolt. So it's like, oh, if I want to do that, I can become a mage with lightning. You know. Yeah. So, I kind of prefer that just because I want, like, for me, the first time you use that power, what makes it feel powerful is not having been that powerful to begin with. So if I jump in and am already really powerful, and then I get, you know, nerfed basically. I feel weak. I don't want to feel weaker than, you know, than I or do ordinarily jumping into a game. I want to work up to that and be surprised by the power I have.
All right, I need our listeners to call in and agree with me because I don't like that I'm 3-1 on this. That's not satisfactory. So if you agree with me, please call in.
There you go.
If not, you can keep it to yourself.
And so, that's a good time to mention our GOG.com codes.
Yeah, and so so as always, we want to thank you for listening, and you can send your thoughts, questions, responses, support of me and my life choices to this an MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or you can call us toll-free at 877-404-1337, extension 724, to record your questions there. And we're continuing our contest, or I guess giveaway.
Yeah, I mean, the next, I guess we gave away 3 already, so the next 7 questions we play on the podcast, those lucky folks will get a code good for any game on GOG.com. Yeah.
And if you sent in a question this week, don't worry, we'll be sure to listen to those too.
Absolutely.
Yeah
so, and if you aren't already a subscriber to our fine magazine, we encourage you to become one. Just head over to PCGamer.com and fill out our fancy-dancy subscription form, and we'll happily send you the best PC gaming magazine in existence every month. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.